So it's nice to see you all this morning. Many of you, of course, I do know and recognize, and many of you seem new-ish, or at least to me. I chose the topic, Mind is Medicine, or maybe I should say I arrived at that title because in the middle of last year, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, asked me to speak about mindfulness and its effect on health and spirituality and health and that topic. And in doing some research and preparing a talk for them, came up with what I thought would be a useful way of introducing mindfulness practice to the people at the Mayo Clinic, which, as you know, are very traditional but increasingly alternative, medically minded, and have adapted that material and talk to people who are more interested in the meditation part and or come at it from either spiritual or personal growth position or perspective rather than a medical model. So there'll be some adaptation, and please, if it's not clear to you or if it's not particularly what you thought, well, just ask questions or make comments, and I'll try to redirect the information or repackage or reframe the information so that it's more easier for you to understand or applicable. And it's not really rocket science anyway. It's all about being present with yourself. Friends who I met last night asked me, so what's the topic this weekend? What are you going to be talking about? And I said, well, you know, awareness. You know, that's all we ever talk about in this Vipassana groups. It's awareness, but we package it under many different titles and many different topics, but it's all about awareness and how to be aware and the benefit of being aware and the challenges and how to deal with the challenges and the wisdom that arrives or evolves from practice that helps us live life more skillfully and to be happier in both very obvious gross ways and in increasingly subtler ways. I think it's helpful to have you know, an aspiration that you come to a weekend like this or a class or a retreat with an aspiration to you know, to hear and listen and practice and to get the benefit that you can. But I think it's a little bit of too much expectation to have some goal or some, you know, internal demands that you perform in a certain way or that you get a certain kind of experience or that you even, you know, imagine in your own mind that you can commodify it and kind of package it somehow to share with others. That's a little too much to expect. But if there's a willingness to just be open to your own experience and what you hear and what you in practice, surely there'll be a benefit. So it's really about establishing a balance in your mind, a balance between your kind of the wanting to do things that are beneficial for yourself, but not demanding that you see what that benefit is immediately. A lot of practice is not immediately, obviously beneficial. Sometimes it's just, you just notice more discomfort and more restlessness of the mind and more, you know, the habits of the mind and the chatter in the mind. You think, yeah, but I don't, that's not what I want. That's not what I came for. But actually just becoming more aware of that and learning how to deal with it is really helpful. I saw some of you at the talk last night, so I don't want to repeat the talk, but I'll just mention a few things that it's pretty obvious, I think, to all of us that there are a vast array of conditions that contribute to one's health. Certainly your genetic profile that you're born with, the environment that you live in, the quality of the air and the water and electromagnetic radiation and all of that range of stuff, as well as the food you eat, the exercise you get. I mentioned last night that we're all also born with a karmic profile. We all have this an underlying psychological foundation upon which, through which we see life and either strengthen or weaken, depending on our own awareness and its qualities. And there are just many factors at play in the maintenance of health. One of which is obviously the mind. And, if you live your life with a lot of anxiety and kind of a dysfunctional relationship to stressor conditions in your life, well, it's going to take its toll and have its effect. And if you, you're looking for a chair, there's chairs there and over there if you want to find a place to sit down. Yeah? Sure. Okay. Great. So, it's pretty clear. I don't think any of us need to be convinced that the mind is a major player in our health, and more recently, certainly for the past 30 years, when meditation has been studied and maybe more scientifically or medically in the last 10 years, we're seeing a lot of documentation from scientists, some of whom are in the room, on the benefits of mindfulness in treating all kinds of medical conditions, not just hypertension or high blood pressure, but including the treatment of addictions, the treatment of HIV, the treatment of cancer, the treatment of depression or recurrent depression, and just many, many other medical conditions are being is being seen and shown that awareness training can have a demonstrably measurable beneficial effect, even with a minimum of mindfulness practice. As I mentioned last night, there are some studies that show that even with a simple outpatient treatment of an hour a day for 8 weeks, patients with psoriasis, severe skin condition, saw their conditions heal in a quarter of the time of those who had took the same medicine but did not have a mindfulness practice accompanying it. How does that happen? How can the mind speed up the healing process, you know, like 400%? How does that do that? Well, maybe the mechanics of just what's going on in the mind and the mind's relationship to the body are a little not so clear yet, but even before we understand how all that happens, if we see that there is a benefit, that's reason enough to keep practicing. You know. Now, as I mentioned last night, when these medical benefits are seen after even a few weeks of an hour a day, imagine what a lifetime commitment of, you know, half hour a day, 45 minutes a day of mindfulness practice every day for a decade or more has on the ongoing or the baseline health of that practitioner. Bound to have an effect which we all can appreciate. It's not to say that if you practice mindfulness, you'll never get sick, you'll never have medical problems, and you'll never die. contrary to some people's hopes, and it just doesn't happen yet. But within the range of what's possible, given your karmic profile, your genetic profile, and the other conditions that you live with, within that range, certainly awareness and mindfulness is going to maximize potential. I guess the frame through which to view this weekend and what we do here is to just see this opportunity as a time to learn a little bit more about practice, to clarify any questions that you might have or confusions about practice, to try some practice, and then to just strengthen your resolve to practice in life, maybe get a little more inspired, a little more confident, and just to gain a little more benefit from some mindfulness practice. The format that I like to use in these days like this is to give a little introduction like this, and then to practice, sit for half hour, 40 minutes, take a few questions. I'll try to meet with most of you in small groups throughout the weekend. There'll be some periods for standing up, moving around, doing some awareness training in motion, and there'll be plenty of opportunity for questions, because I feel that that's really the way that you get the most benefit is having your own questions about practice or about your experience aired, and to get some encouragement or some advice or some technique or some understanding of your experience. And in that way, hopefully you can refine your practice and your commitment to practice, your aspiration in practice. And, well, that's it.